AgStone is focused on providing its customers with more than just a great product. Offering a surprisingly affordable, full-course wetting agent that is 98% biodegradable, reduces LDS, increases nitrogen uptake, and has no burn potential. One chemistry, multiple benefits. AgStone stays with you every step of the way, helping analyze and maximize potential through our products, technical knowledge, and customer support. To get more information, visit www.ag-stone.com, www.ag-stone.com, or email sales@agstone.com and ag-stone.com. Welcome to the Dirt on Turf podcast. I'm your host, Chris Toppings. Today we have an amazing guest, but first, let's hear it from our sponsor. Netting professionals are improving programs one facility at a time. Netting professionals specialize in the design, fabrication, and installation of custom nettings for backstops, batting cages, dugouts, scoreboards, overhead netting, barrier netting, sideline netting, golf course netting, and much more. They also design and install digital graphic wall padding, windscreen, turf, turf protectors, dugout benches, dugout cubbies, and more. Netting Professionals continues to provide quality products and services to many recreational, high school, college, and professional fields, facilities, courses, and stadiums throughout the country. Netting professionals are improving programs one facility at a time. Contact them today at 844-620-2707 or info@nettingpros.com. Visit them online at www.nettingpros.com or check out Netting Pros on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn for all their latest products and projects. This segment is brought to you by TurfMend. TurfMend is a patch repair product developed by a former golf course superintendent, designed for professional turf managers and homeowners alike to fill in those bare spots or worn areas of turf. TurfMend helps you save time and money by using high-quality professional ingredients so you will never end up with weed seed in your repairs. TurfMend is now available in two different formulations. One, with USGA spec sand, peat moss, and grass seed. Or the second formulation, which has OMRI listed compost, peat moss, and grass seed. TurfMend is proudly sourced and blended in the USA. Repair the bear with TurfMend and go to www.turfmend.com for more information. That's www.turfmend.com, and make sure to reference Dirt on Turf when you place your order to get 10% off. Repair the bear with TurfMend. Welcome to the Dirt on Turf podcast. I'm your host, Chris Toppings. Today we have Eric Harshman from Berea. Is that correct?
Berea.
So give the listeners an introduction of yourself and what Berea is and your position.
Yeah, absolutely. So my name is Eric Harshman. I'm the grounds superintendent at Berea College. It's a small school in Central Kentucky. I think we have about 1,600 students that matriculate there throughout the year on a normal year. And I'm basically in charge of all the grounds maintenance, recycling. I kind of oversee the athletic complex as well, along with my crew that I have.
Yeah.
And
go ahead.
Oh, and I mean, just we cover about 240 acres is what we manage on a day-to-day, week-to-week, yearly kind of deal. Within that, I mean, we do the snow removal, we do leaf removal. We've got residential rental properties that we've got to manage and maintain. So kind of pulled in a lot of different directions. We stay busy. No day is ever the same. I mean, I could be out mowing a soccer field like I was today, and then I'll be turning around and I'll probably be doing a lot of tree work and just dealing with contractors tomorrow. So it's a wide variety of things that I get a dabble in.
And where are you located again?
Central Kentucky.
Central Kentucky.
So it's about 40 miles south of Lexington, Kentucky. Okay. Which is where I live. I live here in Lexington, and I just commute to work every day.
Okay. Nothing wrong with that. Give us the background of your turf career history.
Sure. Yeah. So I started off in the golf side of things. My wife, her family owned a golf course. When I was finishing up my undergrad, I have an undergrad in marketing, business administration. Finishing that up. I was working at a golf course there. We got married and we moved to Louisville, Kentucky. And I still stayed. I was in the golf game. Was working at Hurstbourne Country Club in Louisville, Kentucky. I worked there for 2 years. One of the assistant superintendents was a graduate of the Rutgers turf program. And, I started asking a lot of questions about it. One thing kind of led to another, and I ended up going back to school to get the turf education. So I went through and graduated through the Rutgers turf program in 2008. So I did that. I was working golf course. And then in between my first and second year, I reached out to Tom Nielsen of Louisville Bats.
Yep.
Ended up working game day for him for one season. So I was getting up early in the morning, going to work at the golf course, and then straight from the golf course, straight to the Louisville Slugger Field working for Tom. So I was burning the candle on both ends, but just really gaining all kinds of knowledge. I was just soaking it in. I was like a big sponge. I made the tough decision with the superintendent I was working for at Hurstbourne, told him I really wanted to kind of steer more towards the sports turf side of things. And he thought it was awesome. He wished me the best of luck. I still stay in touch with Walter Pritchett at Hurstbourne Country Club, and started working for Tom. Seasonal that first year. And then I was game day that first year, seasonal. Was a seasonal staff guy for 2 years, just kind of biding my time and learning as much as I could, you know, learning from Tom and all the other assistants that have come through that area. Had my time. I was the first assistant. I was there for 2 years. I was the first assistant for Tom for 2 years. During that time, obviously, I love professional baseball. I love being in baseball and just being around the baseball field and everything. Going to a baseball stadium is a pretty cool office. Had the inkling I really wanted to learn more about college athletics. Went through the interview process. Ended up going down. Took a job. Got offered a job at Louisiana State University. Oh, so wow. I was down at LSU. It was either going to be Oregon State University or LSU. So my wife and I told her, I said, listen, we're either going to travel south, or we're going to travel west. So we ended up going down to Louisiana. I was down there as the assistant, sports turf assistant down there. I was down there for 2 years, managing really just soccer and softball. Did that for a couple years, loved it down there, loved the time down there. Definitely got my fair taste of Bermuda grass, which I really at the time didn't have a lot of knowledge on that. It was a lot of cool season grass. So I learned about the side of things, college athletics with football and everything else. And with SEC sports and down, especially down south in Louisiana with LSU, I mean, they are football crazy. they're football crazy down there. And I was kind of thrown in deep in on that from day one, working a little bit of everything. At the time, my wife and I were in the process of going through an adoption process. We really wanted to be closer back to home. I got a phone call one day from Marcus Dean, who used to be at University of Kentucky, and asked me, he said, "Hey, I got an open position. It's the exact same position you're doing at LSU, but it's closer to home. Would you be interested?" So I ended up, we packed all our stuff, moved to Lexington, was back in, still in the SEC game, still doing the same thing. It was the exact same position, just working here in Lexington. Did that for 2 years as well. And just had it kind of weighing on my heart a little bit about just checking baseball out again, seeing if that's really where I wanted to be. And ended up leaving University of Kentucky, and I took a job with the Lexington Legends, low A ball. Did that for one season. Enjoyed my time there because it was basically solely fell on me, managing the budget, managing the crew, hiring, firing, everything in between. Really tested me, tested my patience level, tested just my perseverance and grit, making it through that. And again, at that time, my family was growing, and I did get burnt out of baseball just with the time that was spent at the stadium and everything. And a position came open to be the grounds coordinator at the time at Berea College, and it didn't have anything to do with athletics at the time. And interviewed for it, was offered a position. I was just focused on just the landscape and the campus grounds, and did that for a year and a half. And then the vice president, my boss, came to me and said, "Man, the athletics, the fields over there are in a really rough shape. And I know that's right in your wheelhouse. What if we added more to your plate and you took on and be in charge of everything?" So 6 years later, that's kind of where I'm at Berea College, managing everything in between, from sports. I can go mow a soccer field one day, like I said earlier, and be doing something completely different the next. So that's kind of a brief synopsis of where I've been.
Well, it sounds like you've definitely made the moves and moved around, and now you're finally back towards where you wanted to be. So,
yeah. Yeah. It's all worked out. You know, when I was younger and we were living, my wife and I were living in Louisville, I always told her my dream job personally would be working at a small college and managing the athletic fields. At the time, it was just the athletic fields. And then many years later, you know, after the fact, things all kind of fell in place, and I've got that. So I really do consider what I got going on my dream job. I got a lot of freedom. I got a lot of flexibility to be with my kids, be with my family. I don't work a lot of weekends. So the only time I work weekends, I was just actually talking to my wife about this earlier. The only time I really work weekends is if I want to go in and mow the soccer field, and I usually bring my kids. We lock the complex up and they run around and they have a good old time. So yeah, it's pretty nice.
Yeah. Who got you into turf? Who got you started? Who was your mentor? Whatever.
You know, I mean, like I said, I kind of just fell into it when I was working at the golf course because I just needed some extra cash. But really, really, when it comes down to it, the person that I lean on and would call my mentor is Tom Nielsen. He's known. He obviously, I know you've had some people on here in the past talk about, you've had Tom on here in the past with the Nielsen Mafia and everything. And his tree of people that he's put out there is huge. It's huge. And, you know, I learned so much from Tom, not just necessarily on the grass side of things. The grass is one thing. It's how he manages people and how he treats people on a day to day. That by far, taking that away and just having a good time with the people that you're working with, because you're with those people, whether you're at a stadium or you're at a complex, you're with those people a heck of a lot more than with your family. So you got to build a good, strong team around you and be able to laugh and enjoy being around one another. And that's probably the biggest thing that I took away from being with Tom, because from day one, I walked in that door, he just treated everybody like family. And that's never changed. It's the kind of person that he is. You can talk to anybody in the industry that's ever worked for Tom or ever just knows Tom in general, and they're all going to say the same things about him. So I'm privileged and blessed to be part of the Nielsen Mafia.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome to have somebody from the Mafia up here. Great. give us a current breakdown of your position.
Yeah, so my day-to-day responsibilities, I mean, I wear about a dozen hats, it feels like, in any given day. You know, I'm managing the crew. I got a crew foreman. He kind of takes charge of things, but he and I, we talk through the day priorities, maybe some things coming up, upcoming events and everything. Right now we're gearing up for students moving back on campus. So prepping a lot of things for that. I'm in and out of a lot of meetings, you know, whether it's major construction meetings on campus. We recently just tore down a big building on campus, and there's already plans to build in that current site, even though it's like 2.5-3 years away. That I'm already in on these meetings talking about the landscape design and just the building design aspect of everything. And then I meet with a lot of different people groups on a day-to-day basis with event setups, and just basically being the face of the grounds department. I handle all the budgeting, all the invoicing, all that stuff. Things break, you know, my foreman, he gets a hold of me and says, hey, here's the thing. Here's what we got going on. He's usually good about calling and checking on places and getting a good price on things, but he always okays that through me. So I'm handling all that. All of our students, we have 20 students that are coming in. They're going to be working directly just for us in the grounds department. So the other day I was going through 20 different class schedules and formulating a work schedule for 20 different students. So a lot of different things on that aspect, working through tent setups and events. We got a lot of different things going on, and I only have X amount of tents on campus that we can use. So a lot of scheduling and moving, a lot of moving parts, you know, walking the campus, checking on things on the daily, looking for things that may be missed or skipped, and inspecting trees. Like I just left the office today and just came from a tree that's got to get torn down. It's just starting to uproot. It's starting to just come down. We had some heavy winds a week ago, and this one I didn't even notice. The guys brought it to my attention this afternoon. So doing tree inspections and inventories and just kind of checking on things. And then, like I said, man, once the students come on campus, not only myself, but the rest of my crew, we're going to be training up these new students. I've got 4 returning students, and yeah, I've got 16 wide-eyed freshmen. They're going to come walking through the door that we've got to train up and get them ready to help us tackle whatever we've got going on throughout the year. So that's kind of what I do day in and day out. I stay busy.
I'd say so. What is if you had a warning label, what would yours be?
You know, I thought about this one, and I can't really think of anything in particular. I'm usually not primed up and ready to go until I at least have two cups of coffee in me in the morning. So right. If I had any kind of warning label, would have to do something with coffee. And I don't really care if it's cold coffee or whatever it is. I'm drinking coffee all throughout the day, all throughout the year.
Yeah, well, some people love it. It's crazy. You see some people, like, I drink it in the wintertime.
Yeah.
I just can't drink it in the summertime. I don't know why. I just can't. I know a couple of buddies of mine who they have to have it every day. So
yeah, it's an everyday thing for me in the morning. I definitely gotta have the coffee and get things going, and kind of, I walk around, I'll be drinking it on campus. I'll be walking around with my Yeti and just kind of walking around and checking on things, inspecting things in the morning hours. But yeah, and then I'll usually seek out another place where I can find another cup.
Yeah. Well, what are some of your current position challenges that you face?
I mean, not to be a broken record, I know other people on here, but the labor shortages is definitely hurting. Having to be really creative, with just how we're handling some things of this past year. I had a contract out a lot of the outlying areas on campus, which I'm not really prone to do, but it was based on necessity. So with that labor shortages was one, and really because I deal with so many student laborers every year, just the training aspect and getting them ready. Cause we work with a lot of different things, man. I mean, we're working not only with weed eaters and, you know, mowers and chainsaws and everything else and wood chippers, you know, I can't just throw them to the deep end and expect them to know what they're going to do. Cause most of the students that we get have never worked anything as far, no physical labor, no landscaping, nothing like that ever before. So we've really got to dive in and get pretty deep into the weeds and really train them up. And then retaining those students, the retention is another big thing. And we spend so much time and effort in training these students and feeling pretty good about it come the end of the year. And we try really hard to retain these students to keep them around so they come back, you know, these freshmen. I'd love to have all 16 of them when they're seniors. I mean, I'd have an awesome crew if I had that. But just the retention and the training, it can be mind numbing. I got to get a good feel for the students when they show up. I'm not going to throw them on a mower day one and expect them to know exactly how to do things. I'm definitely not putting them on, you know, any type of heavy equipment. You know, I give the students the opportunity and the first thing they always want to learn how to use is like a bobcat, or they want to learn how to use a chainsaw. And it's like, well, it's not that easy. I mean, those could kill you pretty quickly if you get complacent and not paying attention to what you're doing. So, the labor shortages this summer were pretty rough, and then moving into the semester, it's always just the training and retention of those students.
Yeah, I think that's become an issue, just about everywhere.
Yeah, it's nuts. I mean, the students that we have, so we're a work-based college. They work for their tuition. So they've got to work 10 hours a week at minimum, 10 hours a week, 160 hours in a semester. So trying to get them all properly trained up where their schedules all are conflicting all across the board, it's a challenge.
Yeah, for sure. What are some of your passions outside your job?
You know, I love spending time with my kids, being outside with my kids. I'm a big runner. I like to run. I've done 10 marathons. I've done some ultra marathons up to like 50 miles. I've done those things. That kind of stuff has been put on the back burner a little bit when kids get entered into the mix, bigger priority. But my oldest daughter has been running cross country and track the last several years, and I've been able to coach her in cross country and track. So it's pretty awesome. It's kind of come full circle. My love of running and everything, and she kind of loves it does those kind of things too. So that's pretty cool for me to be able to do that with her. You know, just spending time, just, you know, all my kids do different things. They all like doing and enjoy doing different things. So just spending quality time with them, with the things that they enjoy to do, is pretty awesome. My son, Felix, thinks I have, and we in the industry probably have the best job in the world, because all he wants to do is work. He comes to work with me. He'll put in an 8-hour shift, and he's 4 years old. He'll come into work, and like, he literally wants to come to work. And he wants to pull weeds, and he wants to do landscape work and everything else. So, I mean, just being able to spend time with them, those are my passions outside of work.
Yeah, well, I'd say children is probably everybody's number one thing, you know.
Yeah, it's
what their passion is outside of.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah. What's the best turf grass advice you've ever been given?
Don't sweat the small stuff. Control the controllable. It's just grass. It'll grow back. Everybody's killed grass. That's what we do. It's our job is to bring it back to life. Treat your people with respect. Treat them like family. Those are kind of several things that I like to keep in mind on a daily basis. Coming from some big SEC schools and dealing with those stress levels where you're under a microscope 365 days out of the year, and you got to have the fields and you got to have everything looking pristine all the time due to recruiting and all these different things. Taking a step back and going to a Division III college, when my administration has stress levels and that kind of stuff, it kind of makes me laugh a little bit, because it really isn't all that big of a deal. To them, it's this huge monumental thing, but in the grand scheme of things, I've dealt with worse in my past experiences. So really just not getting too all geared up and overworked over certain situations, because again, it all comes back. If you got a good quality crew behind you, yeah, you can tackle anything.
You're absolutely right. I always wonder like how things are different in other parts of the world in our career field. And then I start talking to people, and I start talking to people like you, and I'm like, oh, well, they're dealing with the same things I deal with, or, you know.
Yep. We all deal with the same situations, just maybe a larger scale, smaller scale. It really is universal across the board. And that's the crazy thing about our industry, man. And that's why I love where we can just reach out to people and talk to people, because you may be having a horrible day, and you can vent to somebody, and you can tell them the kind of day that you're having and everything. And that person just had that same day 2 days ago, and that they're there to talk you through it and talk you off that ledge a little bit. And at the end of the day, you know that not every day is going to be like that, and you're going to bounce back and you're going to be better for it in the end.
Absolutely. What's your opinion on continuing education and staying informed, like use of your apps and—
Yeah, I'm big on the continuing education. My thing is, if you're not trying to learn new things, I mean, you're dying on the inside. You've got to keep that mind sharp. You can't be set in your ways, because there's more than one way to skin a cat, the old adage. So a lot of people have different ways to go about things. They may go about things a little different, but they still get the job done. And the way technology is changing and things in our industry are coming along, it's cool to be able to see that kind of stuff and see what other people are doing. So I'm really big. I'm a huge proponent on continuing education. I mean, I've been a member of the STMA for as long as I can remember, served on many different committees, every year. At least I try to serve on one for sure every year. Professional Grounds Maintenance Society, PGMS, I'm actively involved with them, working on obtaining a certification through them, trying to finish up my CSFM through STMA, trying to get that knocked out. I got one more portion that I've got to complete to get it done. So I'm really big on that. And I push that on my guys as well. I push that on my crew. Any opportunities that I have that I come across that I see some benefit from any of my guys going to, I try to get them to go to that kind of stuff, get them out of their comfort zone. Going to big trade shows, like we have the GIE in Louisville, big, huge trade show for landscaping and everything. And you can go there and the entire outside area is just like hands-on. You can ride any piece of equipment. You can get in a backhoe and go dig a hole and maneuver. It's an awesome, awesome event if you've never heard of it. But I like sending my guys to that, because they go and they get to test all this equipment, and they get to go to the trade show, and they always come back to me with all these cool things that they've came back with, and they got brochures and they got all these cool things that they want to show me. And I love that, because it shows that they're getting excited about those kind of things. And I have the opportunity, you know, that I can send them to those things, whether it's going to the STMA or whether it's going to the Carolina show or it's going to the Ohio Sports Turf show, any of those things. I mean, I try to send as many as my crew, my people, to those things every year. And then, like I said, I try to stay actively involved in that stuff as well. Yeah, I mean, just with all the things that are going on, and just the people that you get to meet, because you meet so many people in the industry, and then you connect via social media, and you can still stay in touch with them, and stuff like this with your podcast. I mean, I wouldn't have known you if it wasn't for this podcast, and it's just cool stuff like that, and just being able to do all that, and using technology as a resource instead of a hindrance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I have another question for you. What's the craziest turf story that you have?
I got two. One of them involves a former coach at LSU. We had a situation where we had mole crickets on one of our practice soccer fields. And we ended up not getting to it soon enough. And we started noticing a little activity on football practice fields, which aren't too far away from the soccer complex. And so I came in and I treated the football practice fields. I treated them late in the afternoon. Those things are night feeders. They come out at night. Well, come to find out, we didn't realize the football team changed their scheduling around and ended up practicing the next morning. So we're out there and we're meeting. We're just doing kind of a quick walkthrough, checking on things, make sure everything's good. And all those mole crickets are out the surface, and they're on the surface of the turf, and they're twitching and they're dying out. And some of the players were like going around there, kind of kicking them around with their feet. And Coach Miles came up to him, was like, "Boys, don't touch them. Don't touch them. They'll kill you. They'll kill you. Don't touch them." Which obviously is not the truth, furthest thing from the truth, but he had never, I mean, the players had never seen anything like that. It was obvious that Coach Miles had never seen anything like that. Those mole crickets, they look kind of funky. So he thought they were some sort of kind of alien creature or something. So that's one. Another one that I have involved some game day guys. When I was with the Legends, we were working on a doubleheader. The first game of the doubleheader went into extras. My guys were killing time. They went back to the batting cage, which was right next to our shop. And they were back in the batting cage. Well, the one who was throwing stuck his head out, and a guy hit a screamer right back to him and drilled him right in his face. Just plastered his nose.
Oh,
busted, man. His nose all over. He's bleeding all over. Come to find out, they run in. The other game dad kind of comes running in, tells me what's going on, and the other one came around the corner, and there's just blood everywhere. And all the while, that first game of our doubleheader was wrapping up, and I literally had no game day crew. I had no crew, so I'm out there flipping the field, getting ready to go for the second game of the doubleheader. All the while, ambulance is pulling up in the back of the shop, taking one of my game day guys away to the hospital, because like I said, he shattered his nose. Got the game on time. Everything was good, ready to go. But that was another pretty crazy situation where just trying to kill some time in the moment, because we were going extras in the first game of a doubleheader, and it actually led to chaos. So
yeah.
It's a little rough.
Yeah, I'd say so. What's your proudest accomplishment, personal and professional?
Professionally, I'd say early on in my career, I was big on trying to achieve and win Field of the Year. I've been fortunate enough, been surrounded enough to have good people working around me. Have won two Field of the Year awards for softball, one at LSU and one at University of Kentucky. So professionally, that's pretty big. But I'd say even bigger than that is really just being where I'm at career-wise and finally having an amazing crew and building that crew. I've built this crew from scratch, and that's probably my proudest accomplishment. That overcomes any award that I've ever been bestowed, because awards are nice, but they just sit on a shelf. This crew that I have with me, I get to see them on a daily basis, and I get to see them shine every day, 365 days out of the year. And just being able to build that crew up and actually being able to ask these guys to do things, you know, what I could think would be almost the impossible, and these guys knock it out pretty dang quick. Got a crew of guys that would run through a brick wall for me if I asked them to, just because of the relationship that we've built and that this, the buy-in that they have with everything that we're trying to accomplish. Right. So with that, outside of work, I think probably my biggest accomplishment is running the Boston Marathon. I qualified for it. After my second attempt to qualify for Boston, I got in, ran Boston, was dead set on breaking into the 2 hour range. And I was set for that. And I cramped up at mile 25 and ended up finish at 3 hours and 3 minutes. So, but I was on pace for 2:58. So, outside of career, that's probably my biggest accomplishment. I'd love to get back to that, but I am the furthest thing from that kind of competitive shape again.
Right. That's pretty awesome. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
What's your favorite quote or phrase?
Everyone has a plan until they get punched in the face. Mm-hmm. And that comes from the great Mike Tyson. Mm-hmm. I like that one just for the simple fact that we as turf managers, you know, we plan accordingly day in and day out, but we're always thrown a curveball. We're always getting hit with something. So it's just how you react in that moment and coming back from that punch in the face and recouping and gathering yourself and moving forward. I like that one.
Yeah, most definitely. What's your favorite meal?
My mother's lasagna. I can't replicate it. My wife has tried to replicate it. I don't know. It just must be the oven that my mom makes it in. I don't know what it is, but it has not been able to be replicated. But I would, if anytime I come in town, when I go home, back home to Northern Indiana, that's usually, if she asks me what to make, what she wants me to make, and that's usually it. That's usually it.
Yeah, well, if you won the lottery, what would be the what's the first thing you do? What's your first non-essential purchase?
First thing I'd probably do, I just recently bought a house. So I'd probably turn around and pay off that house. That would be the first thing I'd probably do. I'd probably help some friends out, pay off their house as well. Non-essential, man, I'd plan some big old elaborate vacation for my family and my wife's family and my parents and everything. We'd probably go somewhere. We'd have to be somewhere tropical, I'm sure. Knowing my wife, she'd want to have some sort of beach involved. So that would probably be it.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
Take care of those who took care of me.
That's exactly right. What are some words of wisdom that you would like to leave with some up and coming turf professionals?
Don't be afraid to fail. Don't be afraid to fail. You know, you get out there and you want to try to make a name for yourself, and you don't want to fall flat on your face. But I've learned more in those situations when I fell flat on my face than I ever have when I haven't tried and haven't put myself out there. You know, trying new things, testing the waters on, you know, just, I don't know, just putting yourself out there in uncomfortable situations and seeing how you shine in those moments, not backing down from a challenge. And if you've got goals and aspirations of doing big things, work for it. 'Cause that stuff isn't going to just be handed to you. You got to put in the time and put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into things. That's not just our industry, but that's anything that anybody wants to do. That's one big thing that I already am just preaching to my kids about, that you've got to work hard for things in life, that not always everything is going to be easy and things aren't just going to be handed to you. Just putting in a good work ethic, I take good work ethic over a lot of skill and knowledge any day. Because if you're eager to learn and you want to put in the hard work, all those other things in time will come in place and they'll all fall in place.
Absolutely. Well, man, I tell you, it's been awesome having you up here. We have been playing phone tag for how long?
Oh, it's been a couple of weeks.
It has been a couple of weeks.
We started talking about this several weeks ago, and then our schedules just never aligned. And then I was moving into this house, and we were going back and forth playing phone tag and emails, texts, and everything else. But I'm glad we were able to get this thing.
Yeah, that's right. We're gonna sit down. We're gonna have another one too soon. We're gonna come back to it too, and kind of dive in depth on some things with your time with Tom, and you know some of the things that you learned along that way. And we're gonna have a couple of episodes with some of the guys from Tom, and I'm gonna
get all of y'all
together, and we're gonna have a pretty and with Tom.
Oh, that would be awesome. That'd be awesome. One big old Zoom meeting.
Yeah, surprise time with it. So
yeah, that'll be awesome, man. I don't know. We'll definitely get a good laugh in. I can guarantee that once we get all together. And that's the greatest thing I like about going to the big conferences and everything, because it's like a big old family reunion for us. And we get together and we sit poolside and we just cut it up. Right. And it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, man. Well, man, it's been a pleasure. Let you get back to your family. But we're going to come back to it. And this will post coming up Monday. So
awesome. Well, Chris, man, I appreciate it. I appreciate you having me on here, man. I love what you love what you're doing, man.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. I've enjoyed it. Well, take care of yourself, and we'll see you soon.
Absolutely. Thanks.
Yeah, man.
Benchmark Tool and Supply was founded over 15 years ago and have established themselves as experts in the GPS construction industry ever since. They're excited to bring their expertise into the sports turf management and landscaping world. Their recent partnership with ABI has allowed them to bring that knowledge into an industry that has seen the rapid adoption of GPS and automation technology. The ABI Force Z23 is an all-in-one field groomer and landscaper's dream tool. The ability to bring laser precision to ball field grading is changing the way the game is played at every level. When it comes time to step up your turf maintenance and line marking, turn to the GPS pros who have years of experience helping experts get the job done right the first time. Call Benchmark Tool and Supply today at 866-342-7665.
Well, that's it for today's episode. Again, I'm your host, Chris Toppings, with the Dirt on Turf podcast. And before we leave you, let me remind you about netting professionals. It doesn't matter what kind of netting you need, whether it's for a batting cage, a dugout, driving range, backstops, check out netting professionals. Go to their website, www.nettingpros.com, or follow them on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, or LinkedIn. You don't want to miss out with these people. Give them a call. Let them give you a price. They'll take care of you. Until next week, I'm Chris Toppings. We'll see you then.